concerning being responsible for one another, that is one of our requirements that God gives to us. We're part of a body. That means we're part of a unit. That's one thing. And that means if you hurt, then I hurt. And so I have to check on you in order to take care of the body. A big part of that is sometimes I may have to come to help you with an issue or a problem you're dealing with. Now, God gives us instructions on how to do this. And because we don't follow those instructions, we're failing miserably at helping other people with their issues. As with everything else, we started including self. We've allowed self to be the foundation of why we approach other people. Very dangerous. In other words, usually when I don't like something about you, even if it's in line with God, it's usually because I don't like something about you, then I approach you. And then I approach you based on me, and I do it to my liking. And that's a major, major problem. Because we're all flawed, as you're about to see. If you turn your bulletins over, the name of this order of my steps is Removing the Plank. Removing the Plank. This is necessary in order for us to truly help one another. It says in top, in order for us to help others, we must recognize we need help also. Okay? Now let me be clear. All of us. All right? There are some that will start off with, hey, I know I messed up, but. And they think they covered it. You know what I mean? I know I got problems, but. And then they think they covered it. And no, that's not the case. That's not what he's saying here when you read this. And hopefully you get this, because that's the new, I covered myself, now I'm going to help you. And you blew it, because of how you handle it afterwards shows if you really believe that or not. He says in Matthew 7, 3 through 5, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Two things I want to bring to your attention. He is talking about eye or seeing. And if you notice, he's saying, why do you notice the little thing or the one thing that your brother is dealing with, but you don't recognize all the things that you're dealing with? This is seeing. Seeing, okay, recognizing. He goes on to say, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? So you're going to help your brother to see, while everybody in the world sees you're not even seeing your own issues. Major problem. In other words, you're first to criticize instead of not just acknowledging, recognizing. Recognizing is going to change everything. And I'll explain that, or we'll let the word explain that. That's why he hits it with a title for the people that do this. He says, you hypocrite. Now, hypocrite was more of an actor. Have you ever seen when they go to the theater and they have those two masks that they wear? Because a hypocrite, they put on a mask. You're phony, in a sense. And he's saying, you hypocrite, how can you then go to them not recognizing you? He's saying, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. Now, people who misinterpret this think they say, well, fix your problems first before you help others. That's why we never help anybody. Because you can't fix your problem necessarily that quick. You understand that? You cannot. However, you do recognize your problems, and it makes you approach the other person so much differently. Our job down here is to help. Not to criticize, not to condemn, and no way to put people down, and no way to judge. That is never our responsibility. It's to help. Amen? And in helping, I have to make sure I recognize I need help. Once again, recognize. Not just saying it to make you happy, to make you think I know it. No, no. Recognizing it. It'll show in the way I act. He says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. Then, everybody say then. Amen. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So the key isn't do this first so you can help. Do this first. Before you help them, is do this first so you can help them. Do you understand this? When I recognize I have issues, how I approach you, when I approach you, the way I approach you is going to change so much. Does that make sense? In my counseling, I always have to be careful, because immediately you can come off as, when a person brings a problem and it's not your direct problem, the first thing you go is, what is the matter with that person? Amen. I don't know why that's bothering them so much, and I don't know why it's upsetting them. It's no big deal. Right? How many of us had that? When you heard somebody tell you something, you're kind of, what is their problem? Until you look at you. Okay? You really look at you and say, how many things or struggles or hang-ups do you have that somebody else looking at you going, what is the matter with you? Amen? When I replace theirs with mine, I see I'm equal or worse. Do you understand that? In which I'm saying, I have no right to judge them. I have the full responsibility to help them. Amen? And not based on me, because you know what? I need help too. And I surely wouldn't want to help somebody or somebody to help me the way I help them sometimes. You know, when you go to them and tell them you need to stop, and we're doing it out of anger, we're doing it out of emotion, we're doing it based on self, then when it happens to you, you get your hurt, your feelings hurt, and you're upset, because it's wrong. It should always be based on God. Here's a question. Do we really check ourselves? That's the question. In a world today where we feel as though we don't have to, we don't. And that's why a lot of us walk around and we have justified us. How I am, that's just the way I am. Take it or leave it, right? We love who we are. And if the world can't accept that, oh, too bad, right? Instead of us recognizing, no, God told us about ourselves, and we have to now give ourselves away in order for us to be fixed. Romans 2, 19 through 24 says, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. There was a lot of self-righteous ones that had no problem teaching and telling people what they shouldn't do, while everybody's sitting there watching them going, but aren't they doing that? Right? Wait, they're yelling at me for doing something when all the more they're doing it. Now, it may not be in the exact same form. I'm going to show you this in a little bit. But we still do it in the way of, I'm seeing it, so I'm going to judge you. But since I'm the judger, you can't see nothing to me. Do as I tell you, not as I do. Ignore who I am. Just let me tell you about yourself. Not realizing we're causing more problems. It's very hard to fix somebody when they're sitting there watching you and you're a problem yourself. Let me be clear. I'm talking to everybody. We are all a problem. I have yet, and you'll have yet, to meet anybody that's perfect enough to go tell somebody about themselves, because I have stuff about myself. Amen? And in order way, the only way I can do that is to approach them with the mindset of helping them, not judging them. He goes on to say, we must realize we are never a good standard of measure. Everybody say never. And I could add the never, ever. You will never be a good standard of measure. He says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. There are some, once again, that can tell you why they do the wrong they do, and because they feel justified, then it's okay. However, when they judge you, it's based on them. They'll go, I have no problem with this, but when you do this, I feel problem. Amen? I struggle with. Now, if we're being honest, there are certain issues that bother us more than other issues. Do you only approach the ones that bother you? Is the question. Do you only deal with the ones that hurt you? And he's saying, we do not compare ourselves with some who commend themselves, who basically are puffing themselves up. Everything's based on what they see as right or wrong. He says, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Amen? The minute I feel, and that's dangerous, when I see somebody do something, I feel either which way that it's horrible or that it's okay, I have to back off of that. My feelings are very dangerous. Okay, we're going to learn that in the sermon. But understand that feeling or emotion is going to be based on me, measuring it by me. If you really searched yourself, there are certain things in life right now that you're doing and or allowing that you have called acceptable. Amen. You're like, well, this is the way it is. This is the way I'm going to be. Understanding one day you have to answer to God. And what are you going to tell God? Well, God, that's just the way I am. Amen. Is that how you're going to handle it? Do you understand that? Think about it. Or do you have a reverence where you're going, man, God, I got to change. I need you to change me. I need you to. Or are you going to do this? That's the way I am. Hopefully, you'll be wiser than that. Any judgment of the world is meaningless, including our own. Anytime I hear somebody come and give me their judgment, I listen very closely. Because what I'm listening to is you giving me based on the word, period. Does that make sense? I've heard some fine sounding complaints about myself and other people and given to people. All sound great, not based on the word, garbage. How do I know that? Based on the word. The word says in 1 Corinthians 4:3-5, I care very little if I am judged by you or any human court. So Paul's inspired to give this. He was like, so you judge me based on you, meaningless. That usually goes one ear and come out the other. I listen very closely, and if I don't hear the word in it, I'm like, okay, it's their opinion, and it's what they're going, meaningless. Indeed, he says, I don't even judge myself. Why? Watch what he says here. He says, my conscience is clear. He's like, because I'm good with me. But watch what he says. But that doesn't make me innocent. Think about that for a minute. If I really look at my life, it's not how good do you feel about it. It's what does God say about it. There's certain sins and things we've allowed in our lives, and we're like, you know what? I'm okay with it. And when we become okay with it, we think God's just going to jump on board. But he just made it clear. He says, that doesn't make me innocent. I already convinced me, Keith, it's cool, it's no problem, keep doing it. And then when I meet with God, he's going to go, so why were you doing it? Do y'all get this? We got into a world where we've been so passive, no reverence, that what Paul is saying here, just because you feel good with it, doesn't make it right. Please be very careful of that. He says, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. He says, it is the Lord who judges me. Amen? The Lord is the word. So you give me a judgment, it has to be based on the word. And because of the word. It says, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. See, we are to assess. Judgment actually gives a, this is the answer. Okay? It actually puts people down. It actually says, here's your answer. That's what a judgment does. Okay? An assessment goes, how can I help? Y'all see the difference? Like, for instance, a court will say they're going to jail for what they did wrong. All right? We say they're doing wrong. How can I help them to stop doing wrong? You see the difference? Okay? I don't go, you are a bad person, label. I go, things they're doing is bad. How can I help them? Y'all see the difference on how we are to look at one another. How can I help them? It's always to use mercy and compassion. Too many times we approach it with anger and frustration. Why? Because it's based on us. See, if it's based on God, we go, man, God was merciful to me. How can I be merciful to them? When it's based on me, they make me so mad when they, I get so angry when they, I can't stand it when they, right? Because it's based on me. But it has nothing to do with you. As he says, I could care less if you judge me. It's based on God. Give them God. He says, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. He's going to do this. See, think about it is you don't, you'll never understand everything about everybody. Okay? So it's not for me to tell you you're wrong, period. It's for me to guide you in the right way. Do you understand that? To help you in that way. It's saying God's going to bring all of that clearly to us. It's saying he'll bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of men's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. So there's going to be some who are already convinced, I already, you know, had it covered, I'm okay. And that's what God's going to go, no. Some even to the worst part of saying, I never knew you. Amen? And but then to some who are really making an effort in the Lord, to us who are judging, going, oh, they're messing up, they don't know what they're doing, God's going to go, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because usually we don't know everything that happens with what that person's going through, do you? Nope. Even when you sit down and you talk to them and you ask them for everything, they can't tell you everything. They don't fully understand it. There's a whole lot more. God takes everything into consideration. We just take what we see. See, faith lets me know it belongs to God because of this verse. Sight lets me assess based on what I see. Well, they did this wrong, so they're a wrong person. They're going to hell. Right? From what I see. That's my answer. Right? But based on God, he don't know everything. So do what you can to help them, not to judge them. And it is necessary for us to help them. Jesus made clear, because of us, we have no right to condemn. Look what he says here in John 8, 3 through 11. And it was an example of when the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they love to try to catch Jesus and not knowing what he's talking about. They're like, here's this teacher coming here, so somehow we're going to catch him. So they basically busted into a place where a man and a woman were having an affair. There was adultery. So it says the teacher of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. So they caught her in the act. Now, I don't know what they did with the man, but they just brought the woman. And they made her stand before the group and said to the teacher, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" Now, they're absolutely right. Caught in adultery, you got stoned to death. Right? Now, the people were like, "We got it." In no way is it, are you saying she's right. Now, watch how Jesus handles this. They were using the question to trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Of course, there have been more books written about what he wrote, even though the Bible never tells us what he wrote. It has nothing to do with anything. Okay, he was writing on the ground. That's all you need to know. Leave it at that. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, watch this, "If any of you is without sin, let him be first to throw a stone at her." Now, did you catch what he said? Did he say she was right? Did he say what she was doing was okay? Let it pass. No. Not anybody. He's saying, cool, stone her. However, only the person that is sinless, stone her. Okay? And then he bent down again. It says, again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away at a time. The older ones first, until Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." So nowhere did he say it's okay to do what you were doing. In fact, he even ended it with, "Stop that, what you're doing." Do you understand? You need to get rid of that. Cut it out. Do you understand that? However, he's saying to them, because to be honest with you, he would have been able to throw the stone. But the rest of them, he's basically saying, now after you throw the stone and you kill her, get in line. Does that make sense? See, when you self-righteously approach somebody and you're done and you let them have it, get in line. Do you understand this? Unless you're perfect, spoiler alert, you're not. Okay? And so knowing that you're not, okay, how dare you approach people with disdain, with anger, with frustration, with condemnation? I think they should be punished. Right? We come off sometimes with that mentality. Now, does that person need help? Does this woman need help? Absolutely. Help her. You got where I'm coming from. I see my brother or my sister caught in something. Help. Now, please don't mistake enabling for helping. Sometimes enabling will allow them to do it and say, oh, they have a problem. No, 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 no. Allowing the sin is never, ever right. Y'all get that? Please don't mistake that, okay? Allowing the sin. Helping is you doing what the Bible says in order to help them. Sometimes that does mean disconnecting from them. You know what the Bible says about that? About disassociation. Even it may even reach that point. But you have to do it in a way that the Bible says in order to help them. And it's always based on God. Never based on you. Does this make sense? Everybody with me? All right. Now, please note, he didn't say if anyone has not committed adultery. Why do I make that point? Because sometimes we judge others when that sin is not my sin. Right? I know I got problems with these other sins, but your sin. He didn't say that. He didn't say, he who has not committed adultery, throw the first stone, because then there'd be rocks flying. Right? No. He said, he that is of you that is without sin. He's covering sin completely. So your sin of doing this over here is equal to my sin of doing this over here. They're both still sin. They're both still wrong. I still have to pay for it just as much as that other person does. So my job is, how can I help my brother to stop sinning so they can help me to stop sinning? Does that make sense? Amen? The whole idea is to stop sinning. So to truly remove the plank, we must first know we are never to do anything based on us. Here the term is never, ever. Okay? Never to do anything based on us. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, do nothing. Everybody say nothing. What does nothing include? Everything. Do nothing out of two things. Selfish ambition, vain conceit. So do nothing based on you and based on how you see it. That's what that means. Do nothing because of you and based on how you think it is. Nothing. That's either good or bad. I told you there are people who read the Bible, say one thing, and then go to their pastor. And if the pastor goes, you know what, there's no problem, go ahead and do it. They're like, ah. The pastor doesn't override the Bible. You got where I'm coming from? Okay, so it can't be based on what I feel and what I want and how I see it. It can never be based on that. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a lot of stuff that the Bible says that I look at and I go, I really don't see the problem with it. That's why I need to go to the Bible. Does that make sense? Because I really don't see a problem. See, there's a lot of stuff we're eating and putting into our bodies that in the beginning stages we have said, I see no problem with it. There was a time when smoking was acceptable. People would look at it and go, I don't see the big deal. Right? People look at it and go, there's no big deal. What's the problem? Now we're looking back and going, man, we got to stop you from doing this. This is horrible, so on and so forth. It's destroying the body. But at the time, it seemed okay. So that's why, once again, I'm just a messenger. Hope you don't come to me for my advice. Because my advice is no better than your advice, which is all bad advice. We want godliness. Amen? So it can never be based on me and how I see it. Never, ever. So do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But watch this. But in humility. Humility is now taking me out of the picture or lowering me. It says, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. What that means is you look at everybody with a, man, if they're going through that, and they're better than me. Y'all get this? How can I help them? Not looking down at them, being mad at them. Sometimes we come off with the I'm disappointed in you, Christian. You ever get those Christians? I told you I grew up in a church that had a lot of those. And we were more afraid of them than we were of God. Because they'd walk in, the minute you did something, they give you that look and they just shook their head like, and what they were really saying is, I don't know why you can't be as perfect as me. That's what they were saying. Right? Let them mess up one time. It almost made you rejoice. All this is bad. It takes us out of God. Now, when I approach them with compassion, and well, there was one young minister I remember that he would always approach the young people with that mindset. He first tells us, man, I was a knucklehead when I was little and this and that. He was like, and I can still be a knucklehead now. He was like, but glory be to God. And he'd always approach us with that mindset of, you guys are setting yourselves up. Don't do this to yourself. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? How can I help you not to do this to you? And it was always a compassionate where he took him. We wasn't worried about how he seen us. It was always going to him to help us. Big difference. If I go to you and you're busy getting mad at me for something that I did, will I come to you again? If I go, all right, I won't do it again. And then you go, okay. And then you walk away and you mess up again. And the next time I come to you, you're like, I'm so mad at you, I can't. You're like, you know what? Now I'm going to spend the rest of my life hiding it from you. Now nobody's getting help. Does that make sense? It has to be, what are we going to do about this, man? How can we help? What do you need me to do? The Bible says, it is written, the Word says, I need to help. Once again, not enabling, but we must help. So that's the first part. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Secondly, know our purpose is to assess and assist. Assess and so I check it based on God. And I assist based on God. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 15. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Does anyone see curse out the ones that get on your nerves? Is that one of them? Right? Tell off the ones that make you mad? No? Make feel bad the ones that disappoint you? In fact, do you see you in there at all? It's all about us helping them. It breaks it down to warn those who are idle. I have to assess, wait, they're not doing anything. I got to let them know, man, you can't not do anything. You got to go to church. Are you not, are you in your word? I'm a little concerned, man, because this is helping you. Remember, God gave this for us. It says encourage those who are timid, those who are scared of everything. Well, I know I'm supposed to say this to so and such, but I'm scared of how they're going to feel. I know I'm supposed to do this with my kids, but I'm scared they're not going to like me. I know I'm supposed to say this to my spouse, but... And you encourage them. No, I know, man. And they may do that. But it's the best thing for them. You're encouraging them using the word to help the weak. There are those who are struggling and they need your help. Hard times. What can I do? I'm here for you. Not, oh, man, they're going to pull me down. I'm going to get away from them. And be patient with some people. Be patient with family members. Patient with those who you like most. No. Be patient with who? Everyone. Be patient with everyone. I see more Christians have the I'm done mentality. It blows my mind. Right? They have the, if I told them once and they didn't hear me the first time, they're not going to hear me the second time. Once again, you realize you're setting yourself up. God's like, oh, we're going on one time? Is that how we're working? So you're ready to go to hell now. Because I gave you more than once. Is that how we're doing it? Do you see how this works? That patience means I'm going to do it until one of two things happen, or one of three things. Either I die first, you die, or God says stop. Those are the only three things to make me stop or to say I'm done. Do y'all get this? Unless God says keep, say you're done, or unless by life I'm done, or in case you die, then I'm done. Other than that, I don't care how frustrated I am. I don't care how mad I get. I don't care how hard it gets. Round two. And it can go to round infinity, whatever it takes to help. So be patient with everyone. And then it says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Remember, my job is not to punish you. Even if what you did was to me, my job is to help you. That's a very tough thing. But see, the first thing we were supposed to do as Christians is disconnect self. I know y'all hear me say that verse over and over again. He says, you must deny yourself. Y'all go, amen. And then you go home thinking about yourself. More and more people come to me and present self. And this person getting me mad because of self. And then the other person goes, yeah, but self. And then they're making me mad because of self. And they want me to accept one of the selves. Right? And my job is to present God. And God tells you to be selfless. Amen? Then why are you so selfish? Explain that. Why are you still upset at it and still reacting based on you? How come you are making you the standard of how you're dealing with it? It cannot be based on self. Our gentleness must be a noticeable characteristic. Every Christian must be that where somebody says, go talk to so-and-such. Are you that person? And that should be all of us. It shouldn't be one or two of us. It should be all of us to where they're saying, go talk to, and it should be, I should be able to feel everybody's name in there because of our gentleness. When it says in Philippians 4:4-5, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to who? To all. The Lord is near. What that means is they know. The minute they come to you, they can tell you anything. And you're going to be gentle with them. Has anybody told you something? You're like, what? Now, you already blew it. You did what? What is the matter with you? Right? We come off with this, you are the most horrible person I've ever seen. Gentleness is, okay, so what are we going to do about it? How can we take it? Did you notice I said we? Right? Minute you come to me, okay, how are we going to deal with it? Now, we got to deal with it. We have an issue here. So what do we want to do? Let's go in the Word together. Let's pray together. Let's see what the Word is saying for us to deal with this. So when they have another problem or they know somebody else is going to problem, yeah, go talk to him. He's not going to judge you, but he will help you. Y'all see the difference? Oh, yeah. But are you that person that goes, I want to talk to him? He's going to make you feel like dirt when you leave out of there. And that's not what's supposed to happen. Conviction should only happen from the Word. There's a verse in the Bible that lets us know the thing that's going to condemn us in the end is going to be the Word. That's it. What that means by that is, it is written. So my job is to help you so as you're reading it is written, you'll be convicted to go, I need to stop. I need to do this. I need to work. So I keep guiding you to the Word because that's the thing in the end that's either going to acquit you or condemn you. Y'all get this, okay? So that's what I have to present to you, the Word. We must be filled with God's Word and with God's attitude. I can't approach you, once again, with my attitude. I can't approach you with my hurt. I can't approach you with how I see it. It says in Colossians 3, 16 through 17, let. Everybody say let. Now, why is that first word so important? Probably should have made it bold, made the font huge. Because you reading the Bible is now your choice what you do with it. Now, some of us read it as good reading. Some of us read it to say we read it. Some of us read it for knowledge to puff up. Some of us, you know, some of us don't read it. Be honest. You understand it? So the Word is non-existent. So now you're left to your own experiences, feelings, how you see things to help others. Amen? It's like a doctor who said, I don't need to go to medical school, but I'm still a doctor. Come see me. I'm going to do surgery. And I think all of us run the other way screaming. Right? There's no way you'd let them touch them. Something even more important than the doctor, which is a Christian, because this is eternal life. Why are we putting it in the hands of ourselves? I can't answer these questions. You can't answer these questions. So why are we approaching it? So when he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that's your choice. You have to do it. So I got to study it, hear it, understand it, know it, and apply it. Did y'all catch that? Study it, hear it, know it, understand it, and apply it. I have to have it so deep in me that it automatically, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Not some Keith wisdom, but, oh, the Bible said, oh, wait, the Bible said. You won't start off with, well, the way I see it or the way I feel. The minute people do that, you're like, oh, man, stop. I don't want to know how you feel. Not on helping me, right? I don't want to know how you see it. What does God say? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Why are you giving me you if you're not taking it from him? He says, do this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. All comes from God. And as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. In other words, you're doing it all based on God. You're focusing on God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We talked about that. What does it mean to do it in Jesus' name? Remember that? And it says giving thanks to God the Father through him. My job is to just be that instrument. I want people to see me as being used by Christ. I don't want them to see me. I don't want them to say, well, Keith was upset with me. Or Keith was proud of me. Or Keith was mad at me. Or Keith was happy with me. Keith is meaningless. Has nothing to do with Keith. Do y'all get this? It has everything to do with God. Keith showed me God is proud of me. Keith showed me God loves me. That's it. Keith was just an instrument. To play this song, he used a trumpet. Put the trumpet down. He just used the trumpet, but he played the song. So all I want to be is an instrument being used by him. And in doing so also, the armor is not the only clothing we are to wear to help each other. Look at this clothing here. Watch this. Colossians 3, 12 through 14 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, he breaks it down, clothe yourselves with. Now, I know we like the thing because I become a Christian, I automatically get this clothing. No, you get access to this clothing, but it's up to you to put it on. Does this make sense? What is the clothing? Compassion. Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How did God forgive us? It said, God so loved the world. Now, he's offering forgiveness to everyone. Only a few choose to receive it. That's the difference. So how do I forgive you? Period. You know, some people are like, you have to earn it. You're really not sorry. You didn't mean that. No. I already forgive you. I might not feel it. Remember, feelings are different, but I know it. It'll show in my actions. It'll show in what I do. I've forgiven you. Now, with that said, how can I help you? Y'all see the difference? See, we love to hold grudges, not speak to. And then you always hear, but you don't understand what they did to me. And I always have to remind, do you know what we did to him? Do y'all understand? So if you want to start holding grudges, he has the main grudge to hold. You never have a right to hold grudges. Never. And the minute you do it, you set yourself up. One day I'm going to do a sermon on all of these, but I just wanted to show you these things in here. And in verse 14 it says, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So in other words, you can have all of these, but if you don't have God, who is love, to really embrace or to ignite these things are meaningless. Human compassion is one of the most dangerous. Human kindness is one of the most dangerous. Human humility, I go down to these, you put the word human in front of them, is that what these are without love? Human compassion enables. You understand that? Patience, human patience is only based on as far as you want to go. You're so busy patting yourself on the back that you lasted as long as you thought you could, instead of lasting as long as God says to last with them. Does that make sense? Okay? Human compassion, meaningless. I don't want it. Your compassion based on you. Give me a compassion based on Christ. A compassion based on Christ will always make you look and say, I'm just like them. I don't care if the person is a serial killer. You'll go, I'm just like them. That could have been me. Whatever embraced them to do this, so how can I help them? Do y'all get this? Not just judging them, how can I help them? Hopefully, when you're seeing all these hate groups and things going around, you're applying it with love. Not just praying, and we do definitely have to pray for the victims, but hopefully you're praying for the people that are doing it. If they're that wicked that they would do that, there's something the matter. Amen? Pray for them. You're like, God, what could get into them to do this? They're still alive. There's still hope. Pray for them. Amen? Here's the final thing. Just remember, if I condemn and use the wrong measure, I set myself up. If I condemn and use the wrong measure, I set myself up. Matthew 7, 1 to 2 says, do not judge. Remember, we're supposed to assess. It says, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will, everybody say will, be judged. That's a God promise there. The same way, that means he's saying with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if I'm doing it based on anything other than God, how about I'm going to be judged now? And you're going to feel this lack of justice, lack of mercy, lack of grace. Why? Why is this happening to me? That's the standard you set. When you yelled at so and such, it was based on you. So if we're doing stuff based on you and you're crooked, then we'll base stuff on crooked things. We're going to use that same measure you used when you got mad at that person for doing what they did. Exact same measure. We're going to use that same measure that you're using not to forgive that person over there. Same measure. This is not only helping others, this is saving you. Amen? All right. All right.